and welcome along to this week's assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, once again joined by Dan Charles this week, and James Milton ably steps in to replace Mark Landon as we look ahead to the Premier League and EFL action this weekend. It's been a big week, of course, in midweek of European action, and of course on Merseyside as well, with that dramatic derby clash at Goodison Park. And it promises to be a massive weekend as well across both the Premier League and the EFL. And as ever, we'll kick off with the big match of the week, which this week was pretty difficult to choose. I have to say, there's some big games across the board in the Premier League, but we've gone with one of the 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday as Manchester City and Newcastle do battle at the Etihad Stadium. In terms of the prices, well, City 9-10 to claim the victory, Newcastle around 12-5. And it's 100-30, the draw. Dan, we'll start with you. Big, of course, this in terms of Champions League, with both of them having their eyes set on a top four finish this week. Just how much do we think that the midweek action has taken out of City in that game with Real Madrid?
Yeah, I suspect quite a bit mentally and physically. I think with City, they're certainly better than they were towards the end of last year when they were on a terrible run. I mean, the fact they even got in a position to win the game against Real Madrid, they certainly wouldn't have done that the way they were playing a couple of months ago. But there's still lots of signs of vulnerability, aren't there? I mean, you saw it in their collapse against PSG when they were playing well. Against Arsenal when they equalised, got to 1-1 and then completely, you know, collapsed as well. And then we saw it again. I mean, they've gone in front after 80 minutes and then managed to lose the game. I mean, and against a world-class opposition, it has to be said. But there's just a lot of vulnerability there. And I think Newcastle, you know, are going to be looking at that and thinking there's an opportunity here. Even you look at Man City, even the game against Leighton Orient, when they put out quite a strong side, wasn't a completely convincing performance.
No, definitely not. And I suppose in the past, Milts, we've seen the likes of Arsenal do this when they were chopping and changing between Ramsdale and Raya. And City are probably paying the penalty a little bit for chopping and changing their goalkeeper in recent weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another example of kind of how unsettled things have been at City. And it's, you know, it's such a shock to see, you know, so many years gone by that, you know, Guardiola's teams maybe started off a little slowly in the season, but you know, by this stage of the year, they're at kind of peak condition and looking unbeatable. And, you know, this season, obviously, the Rodri injury has been huge for them. Then they've had a January transfer window where they've, you know, made a lot of new signings. So that's kind of unsettling as well. And yeah, I think they're eminently opposable against Newcastle this weekend.
I was going to say, ironically, you know, Newcastle, we'd normally say about how crucial their form is at St James's Park, but actually, they've probably been a bit better away from home recently.
They've been excellent away from home. I think it's 7 wins in 9 in all competitions on the road. You know, that includes league victories at Nottingham Forest. You're obviously having an incredible season at Old Trafford, at Tottenham, and really impressive EFL Cup winner at Arsenal in the semis. So, yeah, I just think, you know, you look at them and I think in every area of the pitch, they can certainly match City. Yeah, the midfield is such a strong department for Newcastle, less so for City. You know, defensively, I think they're going to put out a stronger defence than City faced against Real Madrid in midweek. And obviously, they've got Isak up front, who's in phenomenal form. And I really like the look of Newcastle to win this game. The other factor in their favour is the freshness. You know, Dan spoke about the kind of physical and emotional exhaustion that City may feel after that late turnaround against Real. And Newcastle, you know, their squad is looking a little thin, but when they get their first 11 out, they're a match for anyone. And you know, they had no midweek game. They were able to rest their big guns in the cup last weekend. So, yeah, I think it's set up really nicely for Eddie Howe's men.
More injuries for City, Dan, as well. Grealish and Akanji picking up problems against Real Madrid. And, you know, with City's backline struggling the way they are, the last thing that they want is probably pace running at them. And Newcastle have got that in abundance.
Yeah, they don't seem to be able to keep clean sheets today, City. I mean, I mentioned the Orient game and you know, Orient scored once and could easily have equalised again, couldn't they? You know, quite a simple sort of ball to the back post, you know, great chance missed. And they're just giving up. This is a theme throughout the season. They're giving up big chances. I mean, their actual XG against, I think, is higher than the goals that they've conceded. So it could be even worse for City. And Newcastle, as James has mentioned, that you know they do look a more solid unit defensively. Those games against Arsenal, two clean sheets, you know, against Arsenal in the FL Cup semi-final, just showed you how resilient they are. You know, happy to give up possession, defending a low block and hit on the break. And I'm sure they'll, you know, try to carry out similar tactics at the Etihad.
Yeah. So, James, you've alluded to it already. You going with Newcastle here?
Yeah, I think Newcastle worth it. You know, as Dan said, the amount of goals City concede, I think Newcastle are worth a bet just to win the game, yeah.
What about you, Dan? What's your best bet for this one?
Yeah, I'm going to play it a little bit safer. Going to go with Newcastle or draw double chance. I think City, I actually think they are improving second half of the season, but you're forgetting from what a low base they've gone to towards the end of last year. Some of the performances, there was no energy and tempo about it. I think that is starting to come back in an offensive sense. They are looking more of a threat going forward. So I've got, you know, I think they're going the right way offensively, but defensively they just look so open at times. And I think Newcastle can just do the basics and then, you know, hit them on the break.
Well, time now to look ahead to the rest of the Premier League action. And it gets underway on Friday evening at the Amex as Brighton play host to Chelsea. Bit of deja vu here following the FA Cup clash between the two sides last weekend. Brighton 19-10. It is 13-10 Chelsea, and the draw is 13-5. Milts, we'll start with you with this one. Brighton victorious in the FA Cup. Are we going to get a similar situation this time?
I'm not sure. I mean, these are two teams I really struggle to get right. But as you said, kind of Brighton came from behind. You know, goalkeeper conceding an own goal in the first 5 minutes is never a great start. But they came back. A bit of a subdued performance from Chelsea. I'd expect there to be a bit more attacking intent from them in this game. And, you know, looking at the reverse fixture, which was an extraordinary game, 4-2 to Chelsea. All six goals came in the first half. And I like the look of Cole Palmer to score first. He scored four first-half goals in that game. Absolutely destroyed Brighton. I mean, if you'd backed him to be first goal scorer in that game, he'd have been... felt a bit hard done by. It's called second, third, fourth, and sixth, but you don't get paid out for that, unfortunately. But yeah, he just looks the most reliable performer on the pitch. Two inconsistent teams, as I mentioned. He's actually gone four games without a goal, which is a bit of a crisis by his high standards. But he had seven shots against West Ham in his last league game. I think he had more shots than any other player on the pitch in the cup tie as well. And yeah, he looks a solid favourite in that market.
We've seen some absolute goalkeeping calamities over the last couple of months, I'd suggest. That Verbruggen goal that he conceded against Chelsea was right up there, Dan. And Chelsea will feel off the back of that there are goals there for the taking.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I went for Chelsea in this game last week. And I've got to say, I was really disappointed with their performance. I'm going to go with Brighton this time. I'm going to go Brighton, draw no bet. I don't like to knee-jerk too much off on one game, but I'm looking at Chelsea now over the last couple of months, really. I just don't think there's much of a tempo to their play. I think, as you said, they got that real leg up against Brighton and didn't build on it at all. Brighton actually took over the game, and Chelsea, even when they were 2-1 behind, there just didn't seem to be any urgency at all. And Brighton ran out pretty comfortable winners and looked like they could add to their lead on the break. So, I mean, when you're looking at that only a week ago, I'm just not sure that Chelsea are really playing at the tempo that's required. Brighton are going to look at this game. They're 9 points behind Chelsea at the moment. If they can win it, they go to six, and they'll probably feel they're in the race for the Champions League qualification. So just based off that game last weekend, I think Brighton odds against draw no bets are worth taking.
OK, well, we'll move on to Saturday's games now, and we'll start with the early kickoff, which is at the King Power Stadium, where Leicester take on Arsenal. A big game, of course, at both ends of the table. Leicester 17-2. It's 3-10 Arsenal, and the draw is around about 9-2. Dan, we got the news this week, of course, that Kai Havertz has torn his hamstring, going to miss the rest of the season. Just what kind of a setback is that we think for the Gunners?
A massive setback, because I mean he's not had an outstanding season, but it just adds to it's just the numbers of players that they're missing now towards that end of the pitch. You know, Jesus, Saka, Martinelli, you know, and they're not stopped with loads and loads of attacking players. I mean, Sterling, whenever he's coming, I've been really disappointed with his performances. And I do think they'll win this game because they're very good at grinding out results, even when they're missing a lot of players. going forwards, and Leicester as well. I mean, you look at, they've lost 8 of their last 9 games. The exception was when they won at Spurs, who were going through, as we know, a terrible time at the moment with injuries. So, you know, I thought they played better, Leicester, in the cup game against Man United when they were unlucky with that offside, you know, Harry Maguire goal standing. But they've been really struggling in the Premier League. And I think Arsenal will get it done, kind of grind it out, and might even need a set piece, you know, which we know they're very good at scoring this season. So I'll go to boost the price, Arsenal to win an under 3.5 goals. That's available at a shade of odds against.
Well, Milton, the Havertz setback will be a huge blow for Arsenal, but on the plus side, that last gasp Everton equaliser gives them a little bit of extra hope in terms of chasing down Liverpool. It's getting to that stage now where Mikel Arteta has got to be thinking, right, we need to try and take advantage here.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, you know, last season they had the trip to Dubai at this stage, and it absolutely galvanised them. I mean, I think they won 16 of the last 18 games, obviously just pipped to the title. You know, they've gone to Dubai again, and Havertz has been ruled out for the season. And I think that is a huge issue for them in the longer term. I think in this game they should have enough to ease past a really struggling Leicester side. I like the look of Arsenal to be leading at half time and full time. Actually, they've been ahead at the break in 6 of their last 8 league games. And one of the exceptions was at Brentford, where they scored twice very early in the second half to take charge. Yeah, it is a huge concern for Arsenal, the attacking absentees. I don't know, it might be time to stick Gabrielle up front in a kind of a Paul Warhurst role and go route one. But I'm not sure that will fit with Mikel Arteta's ethos. But I think in this game, they should show their class despite the absentees.
I wonder how many of our followers remember Paul Warhurst from his time with Sheffield Wednesday and Blackburn. For us traditionalists, I'm pleased to say there's 5 games at 3 o'clock on Saturday. We've already looked, of course, at Manchester City against Newcastle at the Etihad. Up next, it's Aston Villa against Ipswich. Villa 21-50. It's 6-1 Ipswich, and the draw is 15-4. I suppose it's hard to make a case for Ipswich when you consider recent results and the frustration that they've had over the last couple of weeks, Milts. But I think in terms of, you know, the fact that Villa haven't been in great home form this season, they can maybe cling on to that hope.
Yeah, I think Villa, you know, always seem to offer opportunities to their opponents. You know, you can see that they've won 6 of their last 9 at home, but with both teams scoring. And I think that looks a good bet. It's quite a trappy one, as you say. You know, Villa not entirely convincing. But I just think that defeat to Southampton was a real blow to Ipswich's morale. Mm-hmm. You know, they had some promising signs over the Christmas period. They played pretty well at Arsenal, lost 1-0, then had that excellent 2-0 home win over Chelsea. Since then, they've conceded 16 goals in 5 league matches. And I just feel that Villa probably have the edge in terms of attacking quality here. So, yeah, Villa, despite my reservations about them, I think they're going to be able to win an entertaining game.
Yeah, I mean, I say, you know, Villa's home form has not been great, Dan. Milton points out there, they've won a few games, but you just say that they're not nowhere near as strong as they were at Villa Park last season. But of course, a few new faces have come in since then. What did you make of their FA Cup performance?
A difficult one to judge because, I mean, Spurs have gone there, you know, after the Thursday, you know, bad performance against Liverpool and a lot of players that were, you know, physically and mentally tired. And I thought it was more to do with really, you know, Villa having a free week going into the game. I'm not surprised that they won and Spurs were poor, you know, made shocking mistake, didn't he? The goalkeeper in the first minute, you know, to give Villa a leg up, and they went on to deservedly win. But they're picking up injuries, aren't they? Picked up, you know, another injury in that game with, I think, Konsa went off, and they're short of defenders at the moment. You're Torres out, Mings out, Matty Cash out. They've not got a load of defenders in the squad as well. Diego Carlos left in the January window, so I think they're worth taking on here, actually, at the prices. I'm going to go with Ipswich or draw double chance. Ipswich got a 2-2 against Villa earlier in the season, so that's going to give them a bit of confidence. I think it helps after that Southampton game, there was a massive blow. I think it's good for them that they've had a 2-week break from the league after that, just to clear the heads. They've gone to Coventry, tricky FA Cup tie, won 4-1. So that's going to, you know, give them a bit of a boost. And I just think that they're only 3 points adrift to safety at the moment, Ipswich. If you'd have said to them at the start of the season, you get to the middle of February, you're 3 points from safety, I don't think they'd be too unhappy with that. So a lot of their big games are out the way. They've played City and Liverpool home and away. I just think they're overpriced here against a really injury-hit Villa defence to get at least a point.
OK, maybe a potential surprise at Villa Park. We'll head to Craven Cottage next, where Fulham take on Nottingham Forest, two teams who've still got big European aspirations, of course. Fulham 23-20, Forest are 12-5, and the draw is 12-5. Dan, I think it was probably a surprise to most people that Forest needed penalties to get past Exeter in the FA Cup. I just wonder whether, again, that might have taken a bit out of them.
The player, I think what he's done there, he makes a lot of changes, doesn't he, Nuno, for the Cup. So he's, I mean, he wouldn't have liked it to be that close, but ultimately he's got, you know, some key players rested and he's got through to the next rounds, which is, you know that's job done, really. And, you know, in the league, they're in a fantastic position. This game, I would say, is quite a tricky one to call. I think Forest are very strong away. Fulham, they're not amazing at home. They're having a very good season. They've only won four of their home games. So Fulham are getting a lot of respect from the market. It's only a shade of odds against to win the game. I think given, you know, their average home form and Forest's, you know, very strong away form, I just can see a tight game here. Fulham won the reverse fixture 1-0. Away to Forest, I think it's going to be another low scorer, and that increases the chances of a draw. So I'm going to go with a draw as my selection.
Yeah, Fulham have been a bit of a draw specialist, James, so far this season at home. And I always feel like they're a tricky opponent for anybody at any time, to be honest with you. And Forest, I suppose, bounced back brilliantly well off the back of that thumping at the hands of Bournemouth away from home, of course. And they still have these Champions League aspirations. Can they get a crucial 3 points on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm with Dan on this one. I think it's going to be a point apiece. You know, Fulham have drawn four of their last five. Yeah, as Dan says, you know, they're respected by the market, but they just don't quite get over the winning line enough for my liking at the prices. And yeah, Forest, I think they're set up really nicely to play away from home, and their recent results have shown that. Obviously, apart from the 5-0 at Bournemouth, then came back and won 7-0 against Brighton. So it's been an extraordinary couple of weeks for them. You know, just looking at that reverse fixture, Fulham won 1-0, Raul Jimenez penalty. That was one of only three shots on target in the game. And yeah, I think these two are going to be hard to split again on Saturday.
Well, up next, it's something of a South Coast derby at St Mary's, Southampton against Bournemouth. The Saints are 19-4. To collect the win. It's 8-15 Bournemouth and 100-30 the draw. James, you know, we would like to try and make a strong case for Southampton off the back of that big win against Ipswich, but I imagine that Bournemouth, you know, they just have that extra quality.
Yeah, I'm quite sweet on Bournemouth here. You know, I mean, I think the league table probably shows you that there is a real gulf between these sides. And yeah, Bournemouth are not flattered by their position, you know, up in the upper echelons. You know, they've scored 21 goals in their last 8 away matches, obviously playing against the worst defence in the division. I think Bournemouth -1 on the handicap, so if they win by 2 goals, that's a winning bet. I think that's the way to play this. You know, Saints have had so many tough games at St Mary's this season. They lost 5-1 to Chelsea, 5-0 to Spurs, 5-0 to Brentford, who I don't think had won an away game before then. And Newcastle had 9 shots on target against them last time out. You know, they had that win at Ipswich. Then they named quite a strong side for the FA Cup tie against Burnley, who made plenty of changes and lost to nil in that one. So, yeah, I think, you know, Bournemouth playing some fantastic football. Only real setback was that home defeat to Liverpool. And they hit the woodwork twice, and Justin Kluivert missed a sitter in that one. So they're going to create plenty of chances at St Mary's, I think.
You the same way of thinking, Dan, ahead of this one?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Bournemouth, as James says, they deserve to be where they are. I mean, after that Liverpool game where they put in a strong performance, they've gone and got the tough FA Cup tie at Everton. They won 2-0. We've seen in the week this week how difficult it can be to win at Everton at the moment. They've gone and done it. Come through the tie. Southampton, I fancied them against Burnley last week, but it's a kind of reminder of where they're at. They've gone and got the win against, I know it's no points on the line, but I just think they needed a good performance and a result there just to build on it. So go and win and have the high of winning at Ipswich and then throwing another poor home performance, I think is a big blow to them. I think they'll have a go in this game because they simply have to. They've got to try and win some games and at home is going to be your best chance. Bournemouth have conceded 19 goals in 12 away games. So, because they're so attacking, they do leave a bit of vulnerability there. So that's going to feed into my bet. I think Bournemouth will win, but I can see Southampton scoring. So Bournemouth to win and both teams to score.
OK, well, the final 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday is at the London Stadium when West Ham take on Brentford. The Hammers 7-5, Brentford 9-5, and the draw is 13-5. Dan, we'll start off with you with this one. The league table would suggest these two are probably pretty evenly matched. Is anybody going to go and nick the 3 points here?
Yeah, I fancy West Ham to get the 3 points. So I think that the prices you've just mentioned there, Warren, with home advantage, that would suggest that the market is saying that Brentford are the stronger team. I would argue there's 4 points between them at the moment. It wouldn't surprise me at all if West Ham finished higher by the end of the season. I think they've improved under Graham Potter. He's getting more out of what I thought was a decent squad anyway. Brentford, certainly stronger at home than they are away. They've picked up a little bit recently away from home. Had that win, didn't they, at Crystal Palace. But last league game, lost 2-0 at home to Spurs, who went into that game, as they have been, with lots and lots of injuries. So that's not a great level of performance, really. And I just think West Ham have been improving, as I say, under Potter. Home advantage, a little bit overpriced.
Milts, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals and both teams to score. Two fairly unreliable defences, but plenty of attacking quality. I think I remember tipping this exact bet in this fixture last season in the Racing Post, and it copped inside 13 minutes. So I'm hoping for something similar. I'll put the trumpet away now. But, that's been a winning bet in three of Graham Potter's first five games as West Ham boss. Could have been four. They had that late effort chalked off for offside at Aston Villa as well. Yeah, I think Dan's right that there is plenty of quality for Potter to work with, particularly in attacking areas. Brentford, the schedule's been so lopsided, hasn't it? They had all the kind of softer home fixtures and tough away games in the first half of the season. So they've won their last two on the road, 5-0 at Southampton and 2-1 at Palace. So, a bit more confidence for them on their travels. But, I think it could be an entertaining one.
Well, Saturday's late game is at Selhurst Park, where Crystal Palace take on Everton at 5:30. Palace 17-20, Everton 7-2, and the draw 12-5. I mean, we've already mentioned a couple of times about things, taking things out of teams in terms of midweek games. Certainly, Everton gave everything they had against Liverpool in that Merseyside derby on Wednesday night, Milton. A couple of injuries along the way as well, and Dye is going to miss out, you would imagine, for a few weeks. It's a tough test having to go to Selhurst Park with an injury-hit squad.
Yeah, I think so. And Dye scored in all three of their wins under David Moyes. And for him to now be joining kind of Dwight McNeil and Dominic Calvert-Lewin on the sidelines, it's not a squad packed with reliable attacking players. And that's a huge blow. I like the look of one or both teams not to score in this. Everton have had plenty of nil-nil draws this season, and certainly not all of their games have been as exciting as the derby was. And I don't think they can rely on James Tarkowski scoring a volley like that every week. So, Palace terrific away from home recently. Had three 2-0 wins in their last four, and really really solid side. I mean, they're kind of, we've obviously been so impressed by the likes of Forest and Bournemouth and Fulham this season. And Palace, after a really slow start, they've only lost three of their last 16 games. So they're, looking at a really competitive side. And I think this will be a low-scoring game, probably edging towards Palace. But one or both teams not to score for me.
I mean, Beto, Dan, looked like he'd run out of legs after about an hour of the Merseyside derby. How he continued for the whole 98 minutes, I'm not entirely sure, but it would have surely drained Everton going into this one.
It will have done, you know, emotionally and physically. I think emotionally, the fact that they got the result at the end, you could argue that's going to give them a boost and could keep them going a little bit. My issue here is I can see why people would fancy Palace, given, you know, what Everton have had to go through in that game. And Doucouré, we haven't mentioned as well, with his red card after the game. He's suspended. He had a really good game as well, and that would be a big blow to them. But I just think, you know, Palace have won two home games all season. They're a team that prefers to kind of counter-attack. Hence, they're quite strong away from them. Two home wins out of 12. And they're odds on at home to an Everton team. While tired, they have shown a lot of resilience since David Moyes has gone in there. I thought Jarrod Branthwaite as well was outstanding for them against Liverpool. And he's a real good rock for them to build their defensive foundation on. And I can see, a similar to Milch, a low-scoring game could finish maybe 1-0 to Palace or a 0-0 draw. But at the prices, Palace are odds on. The draw, 12-5. I would just take that price on the draw. I think it's a bit overpriced, Everton, maybe to dig out a point.
OK, well, two more games to look forward to in the Premier League, and they both take place on Sunday. Firstly, the 2 o'clock kickoff at Anfield, where Liverpool take on Wolves. And again, we've asked how it would impact on Everton with that performance in midweek. I wonder how Liverpool will react as well. There'll be no Curtis Jones after his red card, and Arne Slot may well have to be in the stands as well after he was sent off. Liverpool 1-5 to claim the victory. Wolves as big as 10-1 and the draw 13-2. Dan, what are you looking at here?
I'm going to go with Liverpool and both teams to score. I think it's a big game for Liverpool, actually, this. It's not just the Everton game. You know, he took the Plymouth game too lightly as well, didn't he? And you know, come a cropper there, you know, knocked out of the FA Cup. I mean, they're having a fantastic season, Liverpool, and they're in a wonderful position, 7 points clear. And I do expect them to go on and win the title. But if you didn't win against Wolves, when you've just lost to Plymouth and had that experience against Everton, questions would start to certainly ask, and the pressure would ramp up. I do think they'll realise the importance of this game, and I think they'll get the job done. But I think Wolves, I think given that Liverpool have had that tough game at Everton, Wolves do score a lot of goals, don't they? They've scored 18 goals away from home. So Cunha's been in amazing form as well. So I just think they can at least nick a consolation goal. So I'll go with Liverpool to win and both teams to score.
You could argue, Milt, it could go one of two ways. There could be a bit of a fallout from that last gasp Everton equaliser. Liverpool feeling sorry for themselves, or they could actually just kick straight into gear and gain a big victory, which is going to be...
That's it. I mean, you know, still... Start the weekend 7 points clear of Arsenal. Obviously, we've mentioned Arsenal are hot favourites to win at Leicester on the Saturday. So, you know, there will be pressure on Liverpool. I just think they're so strong at Anfield. You know, we saw them trounce Tottenham 4-0 in the EFL Cup semi-final. Both teams have scored in five of their previous six home games. So I'm looking along similar lines as Dan, actually. Looking at the 3-1 Liverpool win in the correct score market, yeah, I think Wolves have certainly got a bit about them going forward. Lost 3-0 at Newcastle and 3-1 at Chelsea in their last two away games. And I think this is a decent opportunity for Liverpool to get the derby out of their system. But not entirely convinced by their defence.
Well, I think we've probably, in my opinion, left the most difficult game to predict till last, because at 4:30 on Sunday, it is Tottenham against Manchester United. Spurs 7-5, United 17-10, and the draw 11-4. Milt, how do you work this one out?
It is. It's a horrible game for punters. I think it's a pretty horrible game for fans of both clubs as well. I'm looking at possibly a bit of juice in the price of about under 3.5 goals, actually. You know, obviously, Tottenham under Postecoglou are associated with kind of gung-ho football. But I just think this game, you know, the confidence is low in both camps. And looking at United's away record this season, actually, their away games in the Premier League are averaging just over 2 goals per game. You know, they've been beaten to nil in 4 of their last 8 league matches. Obviously, lost 2-0 at home to Palace. You know, kind of struggled to scrape past Leicester in the FA Cup. So I think it is going to be a low scoring, tense affair. And that's the best you can get from me on this one. It's a really trappy one. I'm sure Dan will
understand.
Dan will speak with more conviction about Spurs.
I mean, I suppose we have to start, Dan, with the latest on the Tottenham injury list, because that seems to be the biggest story week in, week out involving Spurs. Are they going to have any players back that we think this week?
They could have quite a few, yeah. I mean, among the names, and there's talk about, depending on reports, there seem to be five players. Maddison's certainly one that's expected to be in the frame. Udogie's expected to be there. Vicario's been training, which will be a boost after Kinski's performances against Liverpool and Aston Villa. It will help. They've got, a lot of players coming back. But you could also say it increases the pressure, because then the narrative has been, judge me when I get the players back, right? Yeah. So he's kind of been surviving, Ange, by saying, look at all these injuries I've got, what can... Well, now, if five players are back in the squad and you're playing at home, expectation... There's a added pressure, if you like, with the players being back, and it's not always easy. Players are going to be coming back not fully fit to suddenly come back in and transform a game. It doesn't often work that way. It takes a while to get them bedded back in. So I just think that United are, although they're obviously in a position they don't want to be in the league, there is an acceptance with Amorim that he's going to be given time to work things through there and sort things out. And I think there's less pressure on them, and I think they have got individuals, especially the likes of Bruno Fernandes, that can take advantage of a side that make errors, which is what Spurs are. And Spurs still weak at the back. There's no sign of Van de Ven or Romero among their returnees. And they're the ones they probably need back the most. So I think United are overpriced. I'm going to go with United to win the game.
OK, well, that wraps up the Premier League then. Up next is the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
So this week's match in focus in the EFL is the standout fixture in the Championship, Monday night at Elland Road, an 8 o'clock kickoff for Leeds against Sunderland. Leeds top of the table, of course, at the moment, 8-15. Sunderland as big as 5-1, and the draw is 31-10. I mean, Dan, it's first against fourth. No love lost between these two sides generally as well. They drew 2-2 at the Stadium of Light, and I think we'll all remember that absolute clangour that Ilan Meslier was guilty of in terms of the Sunderland equaliser. Are we going to get as an entertaining game this time around?
I'm not sure we will. I've seen both of these teams, live recently, because they both played against Watford, a team that I watch regularly. So I watched, didn't go to Sunderland to watch Watford, but I watched it on the TV. And Sunderland were actually pretty ordinary in that game. And Leeds went to Watford and won 4-0 on Tuesday and were absolutely outstanding. However, I think at the prices, I think it's a little bit too short. If I was pricing this up myself, I'd probably have Leeds around the 4-6 mark. You have to be guided by what you think the prices should be. And I'm going to go with the draw here. I think the draw's a little bit overpriced. Sunderland have done pretty well in games against the big teams. I watched their game at Burnley recently, where they drew 0-0, missed two penalties late on. Tough away game, probably should have won it. They beat Burnley at home, got that draw, as you mentioned, Warren, at home to Leeds. Although there was a clangour by Meslier, they probably deserved the 2-2 draw over the balance of the game. They're only 7 points behind Leeds in the table as well. And Leeds, I think if it gets to the last half an hour, they're going to be looking at that gap. Sunderland in fourth, it's a 14 race there. I don't think they're going to be taking lots and lots of risks to try and win and risk losing a game when that gap could be cut to four in such a tense race for that top two. So I think, a little bit, I don't think it'll be as boring as that game against when Leeds played at Burnley, which was an absolute bore fest and a 0-0. But I do see a tight game, and that increases the possibility of a draw. So I'll go for the draw.
I just wanted to quickly ask you about the promotion race in the Championship, Dan, because we've had all four of them in action in midweek. They've all won again. I mean, it's clearly, you would think, going to go down to the wire between all four of them.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got Sheffield United, who seem to just dig results out consistently. I keep thinking they're going to, slip up more than they do, because a lot of their performances are not wonderful, but they're getting players back now and they're continuing to dig results out. Burnley, with the amazing defence that just, they're unbeaten, I think, in 21 games now, all competitions. So, no sign of them stopping. Leeds are the best footballing team in the division, were fantastic against Watford on Tuesday. Sunderland have got such a great young side. Had a few injuries where they had a dip in the autumn, but got a lot of those players back. Bellingham came back into the team for the 2-0 midweek win at home to Luton. And them young players, the likes of Bellingham, Chris Rigg, Isidore up front, they're only going to keep getting better as well. So it's a fascinating race. I went with Sunderland halfway through the season to win promotion. I thought they were overpriced. I think they've got every chance of finishing still in that top two. But a really tight race in store.
It's going to be brilliant for the neutrals anyway towards the end of the season. Time to turn our attentions now to Dan's three EFL selections for this week. And who are we looking at first here, Dan?
Yeah, I've got a trio of League Two selections this week. I like to try and find from different divisions, but you know, you can't decide where the best ones are. It's so League Two, going to go with Gillingham to win their first game at home to Crewe under John Coleman. They've had six games without a win under Coleman, but I do fancy him in this one. Coleman, they lost away to Barrow last weekend, and I've seen him angry in post-match interviews. He was absolutely steaming. He was furious with the performance. They've then gone to Walsall on Tuesday, top of the league, drew 1-1 and apparently had the better chances, could even have won the game. So he's got a reaction out of them. They are a better team than they've shown this season, Gillingham. Spent quite a lot of money on the players. And Crewe have got a real injury crisis and suspension crisis at the moment. I think Zach Williams suspended. Centre-back Knight Labelle got sent off in the game against Wimbledon. They lost 3-0 on the Tuesday. Wait and see whether he's suspended, because apparently it was a bit of a harsh red card. They may appeal that, but they've got lots of injuries as well. I just think this is a game Gillingham are going to fancy their chances of winning. Next League Two selection, going to go with a bottom of the table, or towards the bottom of the table clash, Morecambe at home to Accrington. I fancy Morecambe to win this game. Derek Adams, he had issues with a transfer embargo until right at the end of the window, when he brought in Andy Dallas and Jed Garner, a couple of forwards towards the end of the window. And they've made a difference for them. They've looked more attacking recently. Last home game, Morecambe, they won 4-2 at home to Fleetwood. Last weekend away to Notts County, they lost 2-0 against a good side, but created chances. And I just think this is a game they're going to think they can win. Accrington went to Bradford on Tuesday and played well, actually. Only lost 1-0 in a tight game, but they're not scoring many goals. They've only got two goals in the last seven games. And I just think Morecambe, with home advantage, look value to win it. Finally, going to go with MK. Two out of form teams here. MK Dons are away to Tranmere. I think MK Dons, who have lost the last three, I think they'll snap that run this time and get a win. I'm going to go with them on the draw, no bet, at shade of odds against Tranmere, are on a terrible run. You know, 2 points from their last seven games. Got a 0-0 draw at home to Fleetwood on the Tuesday, but they're really struggling. Lowest scoring team in the division, struggling to score goals. MK Dons have not been in great form, it has to be said, but a bit like Gillingham, they have got the players to be better than where they are in the table. I don't think they've quite given up on the playoffs yet. I think that could be a push, though, with an 11-point gap to make up. However, I think they'll win here at Prenton Park.
OK, so just to remind you of Dan's three EFL selections, all in League Two this weekend. It's Gillingham, Morecambe and draw no bet MK Dons. And time now for Milt to give us his bet builder. So, James, what are we looking at? Which game are we focusing on for the bet builder?
Yeah, going for the Friday night clash between Brighton and Chelsea. Obviously, a bit of fresh form between these clubs, played in the FA Cup last weekend. So, first selection, Cole Palmer to score at any time. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, he's gone four games without a goal. But I think these are the ideal opponents for him. You know, absolutely tore them apart in the reverse fixture, scored four times in the first half. Yeah, you look at his record, he scored, I think, 36 Premier League goals in kind of a season and a half at Chelsea. It opened the scoring in this fixture last season as well. Had seven shots against West Ham in his last league appearance. And I'd be surprised if he didn't make his mark on this game. Next up, we've got Moses Caicedo to be booked. Yeah, I think Chelsea's contingent of ex-Brighton players are going to get another hostile reception. Mm-hmm. Never nice to bump into your ex on Valentine's Day, is it? And I think Caicedo will be pumped up for the midfield battle. He's been booked in both of his Chelsea appearances back at Brighton in the FA Cup and in May's game, which Chelsea won 2-1. And yeah, I think he looks a leading candidate for another caution this time around. And the final selection, I think this boosts the price to around 10-1. So final selection, over 9.5 corners. Yeah, Dan and I both mentioned that the FA Cup game didn't really spring to life despite those early goals. I think there's going to be a bit more urgency about both sides in this game. You know, both teams have got exciting wingers, attack-minded fullbacks. And before the Cup game, their previous 8 meetings had all featured at least 10 corners. So, yeah, fingers crossed for plenty of flag kicks at the Amex.
Yeah, you could have a Valentine's Day 10-1 treat if that comes in for Friday's clash, Brighton against Chelsea. We normally get a couple of prop shot picks as well from Mark. And James, I think you've got a couple for us to peruse over this weekend.
Yeah, staying at the Amex for the first one, Tarek Lamptey to be booked. Yeah, he's had an injury hit couple of years. Looks likely to start at left back for Brighton. Mm-hmm. Still got a few injuries in defence. You know, he's played right back and left back. He's not played regularly for the past 2 years, but I think he'll have another busy night. He made 9 tackles in the FA Cup game. That was more than any other player on the pitch. And just looking at his record last season, only started 13 times in the Premier League and the Europa League for Brighton. Picked up 5 yellow cards. So I think up against some tricky Chelsea wide players, he could be in for a tough evening.
And another prop shop selection, or have we got the one today?
Yeah, no, we'll go with one more, Sandro Tonali, to have 2 or more shots at Manchester City. You know, we've spoken earlier about Newcastle chances of causing a minor upset against City. And I think Tonali's influence really seems to be growing. Mm-hmm. He's had at least 1 shot in each of his last 11 Premier League matches. Had 2 in the recent games against Manchester United, Tottenham and Bournemouth. He's had 8 efforts in 5 EFL Cup ties, scored twice in the quarterfinal against Brentford. And he's scored in Newcastle's last away game in the league at Southampton. So, yeah, he is getting forwards. He's got a terrific shot on him from distance. And, just the way that City have been defending recently, I think he might get into some dangerous positions.
OK, well, time now for this week's assist treble. Dan, we'll start with your selection. Who are you looking at?
Yeah, going to go with in League 2 for the treble.
Yeah.
For the treble, going to go with Gillingham at home to Crewe. I just think that performance at Walsall, the 1-1 away in the week, was their best performance under John Coleman. I think they can kick on now and get a win against Crewe, who injury and suspension hit, and they've lost the last 2 games, 3-0 at home to Newport and 3-0 away to Wimbledon.
James, who's your pick for the treble?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it simple and just go for Bournemouth to win at Southampton. Yeah, Bournemouth scored at least twice in each of their last 8 away matches, includes thumping wins at Manchester United and Newcastle. As we've mentioned earlier, Southampton's defence is woeful, conceded 30 goals in 11 home matches. And that FA Cup defeat to effectively a second-string Burnley side makes them even more vulnerable, I think, against a really quality Bournemouth team.
Okay, well, I think there's a bit of value knocking around in the Premier League this weekend, and I'm going to go with West Ham to beat Brentford at around about 27-20. I think we already alluded to it earlier that there's certainly big improvements under Graham Potter in recent weeks. More importantly for me, though, they're getting players back as well. Jared Bowen's back. Lucas Paquetar should feature as well. Evan Ferguson could also be involved following his loan move from Brighton. Brentford have lost 7 of their 11 away league games this season, and they lost 4-2 at the London Stadium last season. I think this could be a big win for the Graham Potter era at the London Stadium. So just to remind you, the assist treble is Gillingham, Bournemouth and West Ham. And we'll conclude this week's programme with the naps for both James and Dan. And James, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm going Newcastle or draw double chance against City. I just think it's a really tough fixture for City after that disappointment against Real. And Newcastle won their last 6 away games in all competitions. They drew the reverse fixture with City in the in September. It's a big few weeks coming up for Newcastle. Their next 3 league games are City, Nottingham Forest, and Liverpool. But you know they should start the that run in really bullish mood after the impressive EFL Cup semi-final win against Arsenal. And yeah, I think they can at least pick up a point at the Etihad.
And who's your nap, Dan?
Yeah, going to go with Morecambe at home to Where am I going? Morecambe home to Accrington, sorry, in League Two. I think Morecambe, they're in trouble, 4 points adrift of safety, but they'll take heart that 10 of their last 16 games are at home. The last home game, they won 4-2 at home to Fleetwood, and I think they'll see off an Accrington team who have lost 9 of their 15 away league games.
OK, well, big thanks to both James and Dan for their tips and suggestions this weekend. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. It'd be good to hear your questions if you've got any as well for the Racing Post panel. And if you like your golf, of course, don't forget to join Steve Palmer for the Sweet Spot every Tuesday. We'll be back on Monday with another Champions League assist ahead of the second leg of those playoff matches. In the meantime, though, enjoy your football this weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.